So today we begin, believe it or not, a four-week series focused on Timothy. I say believe it or not because some of you might remember the sermon last week was also based on Timothy. Phil's sermon, The Discipline of Reading Our Bibles, used the reading from 2 Timothy, which gave us a glimpse of how instrumental Timothy was in shaping the early Christian church and the church we can have today. Over the course of the next 3 weeks, Steph, Tim, and John will be taking us deeper into looking at what made Timothy worthy of Paul's commendation, and more of the things that we can learn from Paul's mentorship and guidance of life from his ministry. This morning will be more of an overview, and hopefully we'll get to know Timothy a little better, and that will bring us to a personal understanding of our focus within church family. Maybe it would be better to say, today we begin a deeper journey to look at the character of Timothy and what this journey can teach us today. One criticism made of Sunday schools is that we teach children stories and characters of the Bible. Please be clear, I'm not talking about our Sunday school. But the criticism is that we don't teach them enough how to be a follower of Christ, that we don't teach them who God is, how to follow the disciplines of Christian life. My children previously talk of Jonah and the whale, that big whale, and the loaves and the fishes, but not really telling me much about the story that's behind and the message it intends. That's if they tell us anything. They often come home from school saying, I don't remember, like they've sat there and nothing's happened. But my guess is the children in our Sunday schools are learning more than we think they do from the stories and the characters. But what about us? What about us as adults? When we look at the nice Bible stories or the characters, is it more to us than that? We know through the power of the Spirit, the Bible was a God-inspired work, and it reveals truth to human actions. As Christians, we also believe that the Spirit was influencing those that were deciding and debating which parts of the Bible should be included and which parts of writings were kept out of the Bible that we have today. Some theologians suggest that was as early as 5th century. That's really early. That fascinates me, the fact that our Bible we have today has stood the test of time, and how special it is that we can have that. Our current Bibles may have some slight differences, and various translations have gone on, but God's been in it all. God's breathed truth remains. And now when we turn to the pages of this Bible, the same Spirit resides in us. So the stories and the characters are not purely historical nice stories, but a way of God choosing to communicate with us as a church and as individuals. When we look at the Bible characters, what happens to them, how they react, what they choose to do and don't do, that can speak into our circumstance. It can give light to our situations, and it can remind us important truths about God and ourselves. So today, and over the next few weeks in particular, I would like us to take time to contemplate what God was saying to us through the character of Timothy and his relationship with Paul. We're told Timothy, whose name means honoured by God, was born of a Greek father and Jewish mother. He learnt his scriptures at the knee of his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois. As Phil noted last week, that would have likely have been the Old Testament that they'd have shared with him. When Paul met Timothy, he was already seen in high regard. He was seen as a man of good character. From an early age, he'd been nourished on the truths of faith. Sometimes it can be glossed over, when we read our Bibles, how influential early parts have to play, how influential Mary was and Joseph was in bringing up Jesus and the effect that they had on his growth. And so too, we forget about Eunice and Lois and the important part they had to play in instilling the good truths in Timothy's life. And we have a part to play in those we journey with. I think of those that helped shape my early years and wonder what seeds I sow, what plants I water. In this church, I think of the Holiday Bible Club, Jam Club, Biscuit, USB, the Sunday schools, and the activities we're all involved in our daily lives. Living life in community the way we do leaves an impression. I wonder how many people's lives we touch on a day-to-day basis and how we encourage them in their journeys with God. We are a missional, relational church. Paul held Timothy as a teenager with high regard, took him under his wing, and he saw even more promise. Together they journeyed from church to church, Timothy watching and learning, but involved. Timothy was still thought by some around him to be too young. And when Paul released him to ministry, that was a battle Timothy faced within himself. Paul entrusted Ephesus to Timothy's care. He asked a great deal of him. Paul had previously been dealing with an uprising in Ephesus. Supporters of the Temple of Diana, a local version of the goddess Artemis, were not happy of the Christian point of view of one God. Ephesus was a thriving city, a centre of learning, a hive of magic and superstition. And Paul's healing of the sick, deliverance of demons, did not go down well with those that might lose out economically. This caused a lot of trouble, to say the least. The Christian church in Ephesus was relatively new and required close instruction. Timothy was expected to carry this out, establish structure, grow church, and grow people as individuals and as a community. He was asked to call those older than himself to account in a respectful manner, deal with challenging young, likely the same age or younger, males and females that liked to show off for all they were worth, and women who were mouthpieces of their husbands who did not align with many Christian truths but were in positions of teaching. This was quite a dynamic to deal with. And in a generationally hierarchical society, it wouldn't have been easy. And it seems that Timothy may have suffered with his nerves, and Paul knew this, at one time recommending he take a glass of wine with his meals for his stomach. If somebody wants to recommend that to me now, I'd be very happy, thank you. Even though released and given trust, Paul and Timothy's relationship remained close. He trusted him enough so that he could release him to have an influence on an early church in Ephesus. He was close enough to know Timothy's weak points and how to encourage him in them. He helped shape Timothy's toolkit of faith. His letters were steeped with encouragement and support and paternal spiritual care. Timothy, my true child of faith. Timothy, my dear son. This gave Timothy the courage he needed to stand firm in a way he may not have had the self-belief to do so. The relationship was the key to the effectiveness of Paul's mentorship. Is this how we do church? From my experience, I think it is. I moved house, not Friday just gone, but the week before. I've got an essay due in 2 weeks. I have my service today. I have the kids. I couldn't have done it all without you guys there supporting me. It would have been an impossible task, and you made it possible. I was not on my own. My task became possible because Christ's body reached out. When I moved, I was blessed with messages of support. I knew I was uplifted in prayer. And in this crazy stage of my journey, practical help was also revealing of Christ's love. Members of my family and friends surrounded me. And that had an effect. The removal men commented on how many different people were there and showed up to help. The landlady commented on how many people helped to sort my house out after I'd left it. Effective working together leaves ripples. I've now got one box left to unpack. And that's pretty impressive, particularly by my standards. And some of my church family were even able to unpack my bedroom and the kitchen and put things mostly where they will stay. That takes relationship. Not anybody can just walk into a house and do that. This means I can have a settled house for my children and continue to focus on my studies. But I wonder, is there more unreached potential that we can tap into? I see my son sometimes sitting at the sound desk with the fathers of faith, and I see Abigail, my daughter, watching the servant hearts of those around her. I hear stories of letters of encouragement passed between people and secret gifts, angel gifts left anonymously at someone's doorstep, in our church, in our family. Prayer lists and practical support, they're something to celebrate. I reflect how thankful I am to be part of this family. Timothy, son of Paul, not student of Paul, son of Paul, spiritual family. So close that when Paul realized his time was near and he was facing a battle with the authorities, it was Timothy he called. I wonder how much Paul would have said he'd learned from Timothy over the years. I see these relationships in this church and pray they continue to grow and the numbers increase. I pray that we continue to look out for our Timothys and our Pauls and support each other in developing these relationships. So my heartfelt prayer as we go through this series is that by the end, you will know the support and encouragement of other members of the church as a Paul, and you'll have identified your Timothys, or indeed Timothy. One of my challenges I'm working on as I'm starting my theological study is to have two or four takeaways every session to find out how I can make it a practical application. And it's through partnering with the Spirit of God's living word that we can bring light into people's situations. If the word stays on the page, then the Bible can be said by some to be just ink and paper. So over the next few days, perhaps whilst on your way to work, or washing the pots, or walking to meet a friend, take time to think about Timothy and what God has to teach you about through him, who he was, what he did, and the relationship he had with those around him. Perhaps if you get a quiet time, try and turn to 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and read them afresh. Is this something God's specifically speaking to you about? If so, I encourage you to respond. Before we have our final hymn, we will have opportunity to compose a prayer. This paper near you, and pens will be given out nearer the time. And the prayers are to seek God's guidance, his will or confirmation on this endeavour. These can be placed along with your financial offerings in the offerings bag as they go by. If you are visitors, please feel free not to give any finances. Please also take the opportunity, if you call to chat with the leadership team or myself, if you want to be linked with anyone specifically in a more formal way. And if you want to share your suggestions about fostering these relationships, or to share testimonies of relationships that are already there, then please, please do so. For our Father God is a God of relationships, who celebrates with joy when his children join together to grow to know him more and make him known, to further his kingdom in his glory. Amen.